Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. It's been said that nothing is easier than fault finding. No self-denial, no brains, no character are required to set up in the grumbling business. And because of our sinful human nature, if we cannot find something wrong to grumble about, it's easy to read our own wrong motives into something that others are doing. So it's nothing short of amazing that the Pharisees, who were watching and waiting for Jesus to do or say something wrong, could not convict him of sin. In John 8:46, Jesus said to them, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" Because they did not believe him when he went about doing good and healing people, helping them, they grumbled. And when he warned his disciples about becoming enslaved to money and possessions, they sneered. So he turned and talked to them. And one of the next things that Luke records is this parable of the rich man who dressed well, ate well, had everything he wanted, and the beggar Lazarus, who sat outside his gate covered with sores, hoping for some scraps from the rich man's table. Let's sing hymn 760, stanza 1.
What God ordains is always good, His will is just and holy. As He directs my life for me, I follow meek and lowly. My God indeed in every need knows well how He
The Pharisees could not imagine someone like Lazarus singing or even saying those words. For them, there was just one good, and that was to be wealthy, to dress well, to eat well, to live well, and to be honored by others. Lazarus, whose name means God helps, had none of these things. And so they might well have seen his name as God help him. Of course, it's true that wealth and health are gifts from God. Abraham was rich and served God, thanking and praising him in the presence of kings. And the rich man in the parable? Now there was someone the Pharisees might well expect to sing, "Whatever God ordains is good." The trouble was, he was not singing. He was too busy enjoying himself or serving himself to serve God. He liked to call Abraham his father, probably went to the synagogue every Sabbath, but did not recognize his life as a gift from God, his health as ordained by God, his wealth as a stewardship from God. His hope, his faith, his love were all wrapped up in his own activities, his own good things, rather than the giver of all good things. That's not so hard to imagine, is it? We have the same sinful human nature clinging to us throughout this earthly journey. Compared to many in this world right now, we are rich. And it's easy to get all wrapped up in our possessions, in our position. We may not even be aware of it until those treasures are threatened or taken away, and then see how we react. When those rich man's treasures were taken away in the parable, he had nothing. Nothing left. What he had considered good, he had already enjoyed in his earthly life, and now he did not even have a drop of water to cool the tip of his tongue. For Lazarus, God had ordained earthly poverty. So how could someone like Lazarus, who apparently could not compete with the dogs for the table scraps, how could he ever say that whatever God ordained was good? Wasn't the rich man a sinner too? Why would God treat one sinner to wealth and another sinner to poverty? The answer, of course, comes in seeing the end of their lives, and the parable comes to the end rather quickly. And then the positions are reversed. Now the rich man is on the outside looking in, and Lazarus is in the lap of Abraham, the father of believers. Reversed. Once there was a little girl who had learned just barely to write, and she wanted to give her mother a special card. And to make it even more special, she decided to write a Bible passage in it. The passage that came to her mind, perhaps the most recent one she had learned, was Romans 6:23. So when her mother opened the card, there in her dear daughter's early handwriting, it said, "The wages of sin is death." The mother smiled too, because she knew that her daughter also knew about the end of the passage, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so you may smile, because in any anxiety or trouble that you may find yourself, even if you brought it on yourself, you know the end of the passage. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stanza 6.